the All My News International Daily podcast for May 12th. I'm Claire George. Drama is, in my opinion, one of the best ways to teach history. It's not for nothing that the director Steven Spielberg, a passionate believer in Holocaust education, made Schindler's List. In Defying Hitler Asks All the Key Questions, All My News citizen reporter Jay Halban tells us about a play that looks at Germany during the rise of the Nazis. After taking the stage in London and touring England, the one-man, one-act play, Defying Hitler, is now on at 5959 Theatre in New York City through May 21st. It is a dramatisation of a memoir by Sebastian Haffner, pen name of Raymond Pretzel, written when he was in exile in England, having fled Nazi Germany in 1938. The setting is Haffner's London office, where he tells the audience his memories of the years from 1914 to 1934, which he spent in Berlin. He was born there in 1907 to German Christian parents. Haffner, played by the British actor Rupert Wickham, begins the play by asking, why are we there to hear an average person tell events from his not very significant life? He answers his own question, saying history is made not by a few leaders or important people, but that the decisive historical events take place among us, the anonymous masses. The most powerful dictators, ministers and generals are powerless against the simultaneous mass decisions taken individually and almost unconsciously by the population at large. Decisions that influence the course of history arise out of the individual experiences of thousands or millions of individuals. He is writing these memoirs to help tell the history of the German people during a very hard time for them. Haffner's earliest set of memories begin with the start of World War I. His family was on a summer vacation when the war broke out toward the end of July 1914. As a child, and far from the action, there being no bombing as part of warfare yet, the war to him was somehow a big game. He remembers going every day to look at the war bulletin posted outside his neighbourhood police station. There were some food shortages and occasional reports of the wounding or death of someone his family knew at the front, but the bulletin was always upbeat. Even when there were setbacks, the war bulletin and the press showed confidence of victory. Then, on November 11th, 1918, there was no bulletin. Searching for the bulletin elsewhere, he saw a crowd reading in amazement that an armistice had been signed. Germany had lost the war. What was this? Thought the child. Did the war game have some hidden rules he had not known? There had been no clue that Germany might lose. His life seemed somehow shattered and confused. He then takes us through the very short-lived December 1918 revolution, which resulted in the abdication of the Kaiser and the police murder of the Spartacus leaders Karl Liebknecht and Rosa Luxemburg. He tells us about Walter Rathenau, who had gained respect among large numbers of Germans and was trying to lead Germany in a moderate direction as its foreign minister, but was assassinated by two or three right-wing army officers in 1922. Haffner remembers that hundreds of thousands of Germans took to the streets on the day of Rathenau's funeral and marched all day long to show support for what Rathenau had been doing. He next tells us how his family lived through the hyperinflation of 1923. His father was a civil servant. The family spent his father's entire monthly salary within 2 days of receiving it. They went to a market and bought all the food they could with that money. In that way, the family had a month's food just before the rapidly rising prices reduced the money the father had been paid to uselessness. With similar reminders of history, Haffner takes us through the 1920s in Berlin. He tells of an obscure ex-army officer staging in Munich an almost comical effort at a coup d'etat, of his own decision to study law, and of the disappointments and frustration of many Germans in this period. Among his friends are Jews and people who have come to Berlin from abroad. They discuss the confusions of the time. As the 1930s begin, they see things that amaze them. How come such right-wing thuggish activity and the Nazi Party seem to be growing? Surely this will pass. Germany has a long history of civilization and civility. Then they see Hitler is being asked to the Chancellery, He's being asked to lead the government. Surely this cannot last. Hitler is a buffoon. But people seem to accept that the Reichstag fire is the work of communists, requiring them to give up more of their rights, to allow their mail to be read, and their phone calls listened to, and all the beatings and indignities that Jews are suffering. Something is wrong. It is now 1933. Hitler is Chancellor. One time, Hafner is working on his law papers in the library of the Appellate Court, Kammergericht, which he thought was strong enough to survive the creeping Nazi dominance. Suddenly, a clerk enters and says the SA, brown shirts, are in the building. A few Jewish lawyers quickly leave. An SA officer comes up to Hafner and asks, "Are you an Aryan?" pure German. Without thinking, Hafner answers, "Yes," thereby saving himself from the beating another lawyer was just then having. He is amazed and ashamed of his weakness. He comments he knew he had failed his first test. To allow the question to be asked unchallenged was for him a further deterioration of the German civilization that he treasured. The story tells how, sometime later, Hafner's father faced a similar dilemma. His father had for 40 years served in the Prussian civil service. He had helped craft significant social legislation after careful study. Now he was retired. A questionnaire arrived in the mail asking him to account for his long years of service and his personal life. It included a pledge of support for the Nazi regime and its activities. He was appalled, but non-compliance would lead to an automatic end to his pension. The family said they would support him not to sign. He agonised for 2 days, answered all the questions, signed the pledge, and quickly mailed it before he might change his mind, arguing his family need the money from his pension. Hafner says in the play that his father died 2 years later from a stomach disorder that began the day he signed the pledge of support for the Nazi regime. With vignettes like these, the play conveys some of the horrors in Germany during the Nazi period. The creeping deterioration of a civilised Germany and the great difficulty faced by millions of people in Germany. In the play, Hafner says that in the last election in that period, the Nazi Party was the only party but still got 44% of the vote. The majority of Germans were opposed to Nazism. Millions who were offended by the deterioration of their society could not find more public and meaningful ways to resist and defy the Nazi rule. The story ends around 1934. He tried then to emigrate to Paris, but could not find work. Only in 1938, when he manages to go from Berlin into exile in England, does he find a way to more publicly oppose Hitler. He changes his name to protect his family still in Germany and writes books trying to explain the Hitler regime and how to deal with it. The real-life Sebastian Hafner returned to Germany in 1954 and spent the rest of his life trying to analyse and understand what happened to his civilised Germany. The memoir on which the play is based was not published until after his death in 1999. His son found it and published it, first in German as Geschichte eines Deutschen and then in English with the same title as the play, Defying Hitler. By the end of the play, this reviewer was left with the impression that Hafner's memoir was his quest to understand if tiny acts by millions of people made history what happened in his Germany. He says in the play, millions of people like him resisted. There is in Berlin a German resistance memorial centre, which documents thousands of acts of resistance during the Nazi period. But somehow still they failed to convert their individual resistance into a big enough force to counter state-supported terror. History in this play raised the question, can individuals and a people do more? Must they do more, earlier, in order to be able to save themselves from a similar horror? That was Defying Hitler by Jay Halbin. I'm Claire George. For more Citizen Reporter stories, head over to the All My News International website at english.allmynews.com.